last night, listening to session 34, finishing up, I remembered, with the help of electronic replay, the significance of the Great Wall. Why is the Great Wall so long and built so far removed from human beings? It was built from the future so the future could see the fault line, tectonic line it stretches along. It's almost like a huge crevice going up. And if we want to fix it, we got to know where it started. And that's what the Great Wall's for. How's that one? How's that for a scenario?
Wow, that's...
And now, let's get you the rest of it.
Okay.
Wow.
And guess what was built? The foundation of the Great Wall of China that they used to build that, what you call the rift of that line. Guess what was used to patch that fault line? The souls or the bones of the people who actually built the wall. That's what was used. As the people would fall dead in the building of the wall, they would trample them into the crevices of the foundation, and that's what the point was. They worked them to death so they could use their, what they called spirits, to patch the opening of what you call a rift or a tectonic expansion. That's why it's held for so long.
Is it the spirit in the bone or just the bone material itself?
The soul.
Well, no, it's the sacrificed human creator.
The soul.
No, they couldn't trap the soul, but in this transition that was being caused, that transition is very powerful. Well, if those bones are continually piled, chinking up the holes, then you also always have a residue. The residue, the point of doing it was to encapsulate the spiritual residue of those marvelous, powerful, very ascended, powerful human creators.
The ones who did the digging or building.
The ones that became the lodestones.
Well, the spiritual residue is like a ghost.
That's correct. But see, Chinese understand it better than you do. They understand they can take the ashes and imbue ashes of someone with that power, and those ashes can stand before you and dance. And you haven't gotten that far yet. And the only reason they have is because they don't care. But they understand the powerfulness of the human.
I have a major Chinese archetype in me because I don't care. I'm half Chinese.
Yeah, but they do a lot of bowing, and you're not much for bowing.
Oh, I'm an improvement on them. I one up the Chinese. All right.
We'll get you healed, Bob. Don't you worry. It'll be all right.
What did he say?
We'll get you healed.
All right. So you have this residue holding together. Why were they concerned to know where this rift was? See, that's why it was built, according to Session 34.
What they put out in the press was, they were building a wall not to keep people out, to keep their countrymen in, to keep them from invading.
Other people, from invading other people.
Or from the north, yes. That was the whole ideology. But the point of how those boundaries and lines were made in the middle of nothingness was they kept noticing this San Andreas-like aperture that was starting to show up. And so, luckily, in this little before Ming dynasty, they realized, hey, we better chink up these holes, so let's build a wall. That'll keep the invaders out. There's a famous one, what they call the Black Lord.
Not the Genghis Khan.
Yes, indeedy.
The way you're saying it, they built it to keep people in, like it's a prison. But then you're saying, no, it was built to keep the northerners out.
No, no. If Genghis Khan came in, he would convert the people and they'd leave.
So it was a prison wall?
No, it was a divination line to keep the Black Lord on his side of the fence. It had a twofold purpose. It's like a dam. You know what a dam is in a water? It has two purposes. One purpose is to control the flow of water. Well, the other purpose is it creates a marvelous lake, a body of water. Same thing with your Great Wall of China. It kept a body of people on that concentration of that side, but it also
many moons did it take to build this? It says in the Wikipedia 550 BC up to like the 16th century, like 2,000 years.
Italy.
You said it's before the Ming Dynasty, but that's, you know, 1600 or something. It's well before the Ming Dynasty.
Well, they were building that long.
It would be finished during the Ming Dynasty.
You say finished, they're still working on it today, so...
Okay, no, but, you know, a big chunk of it was done, but the...
That's right. Good, very good.
So how many souls transitioned from the experience and were buried?
3,468,902.
2,468,902.
Okay, so like 2.5 million, approximately. And that's over many dynasties.
Only 3 days.
Okay, and it was organized by people from the future.
Yes, there was interaction, but you got to realize the you're asking the question like this is just the new hot pocket of the day, and it's not. The Chinese look at things from a different aspiration or aspect. Their ratios so that they calculate pixelation, they do it very differently than you do. They always knew it was.
Always knew the rift was or the wall?
They always knew everything is. They look at things different. They do it on a 10,000-year program. They don't care. If you looked at your life in a 10,000-year program, you wouldn't care whether or not you had puffs today or not. But if you're on a 10-minute program, you better get those puffs now because they may not be there until you eat them all up now.
So that's a good way to think about living in eternity.
It serves you well because it takes out all of those stops. You know, in an organ, you have the stops. Pull out all the stops in an organ. Let it flow.
Was there help from the parallel world?
Yes. And what you call the upper echelon, now they don't see it that way, but the upper echelon understood how even to make mounds spring eternal. And that's significant. Mounds, not the candy bar. Mounds spring eternal. And what that means is you can take a dimension. You've got parallel worlds, but you also have dimensions. But we didn't want to confuse it, but you have variegations of dimension, of dimensionality. Dimensionality. Expialidocious. Oh, wait, that's a different thing. Dimensionality. Because you have slivering degrees of separation within the established paradigm parallel world. We didn't want to convert you into that dimension of understanding because you just now get in a place that you could very cohesively speak of a parallel world and know when the appropriate time to referencing, ask the question regarding it, because then the next 30 seconds will be, now there's degrees of degrees of degrees of parallel worlds, and we were trying to figure out how to go to one and get back, and now there's degrees of separation within the steps that go through those parallel worlds, so now we're going to go into 1/10 of a level of the parallel world of love potion number 9. See, it just gets you all screwed up, but the Chinese don't see it that way. They look at it as is, without the timed part. And if you could just embrace that, you could find superior comfort in one grain of rice. They do that. They learn. Take their chopsticks and pick up one grain of rice. And when you do that, you're very well focused on your now. Because once you're able to do that, you understand now. And if you go to their culture and watch them, they'll watch you. And if you find the patience and capacity to pick up one grain of rice, now we're not talking about sticky rice, we're talking about regular cooked rice, one grain of rice with your chopsticks, they know that you got it. Then you got it. And if you notice, there's great practice, but they won't. They practice you in the art of eating with chopsticks, but they won't teach you how to do it. You have to naturally come to the place to be able to eat with chopsticks. You start understanding the dynamic of all rice when you can pick up one grain of it. And you're on our side of the bus, then all of a sudden you don't even ask that question. You understand that rice could be like days. How many grains of rice are there? Well, how many days are there? Well, how many do you have left? Well, how many did you have to start with? Well, when did you get the first one? How does this grain of rice differ from the olden days? Like, how will the grain of rice be in the future days? And they'll get up and leave the room. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? Rice is rice. Rice is rice. It's not future rice or past rice or next rice or last rice or no rice. That's the last rice. That's what they give you when you're croaked. I'm sorry. But if you look at it from that way, it would be like, which wave is going to hit me? And you go, what? Which? No, no, no. Which? I want to know specifically which wave it is that's going to wipe me out and when. Well, it's a wave. No, no. Which wave? There are a lot of waves. Well, that particular one wave. When you isolate the individual particular wave, then you've negated the ocean. Now you've divvied up the ocean into a vibrational lineage of retrospective insight. And that's what we're trying to give you, the softer part. Now, we're just answering the question, so you're just lost and undone, and that's okay. Don't worry about it. You will get it. But every time we turn around, you, in your place of asking, force your physicalness into a new place. If you look at your website now and actually look at it and pay attention to it, it's kind of like those are the olden days. Those were the good old days. It's not fresh and new, but it's so fresh and new for everyone else. It's rocking their world. And you're like, well, doesn't everybody know Michael Jackson transitioned into another world and he didn't die? That's old hat. I mean, that, you don't even give that any credence.
Okay, where were we? Upper echelon understands how to make my own spring eternal.
Here you go. One time through. Shangri-La has fountains. Those fountains spring eternal. You now have a different conceptual view of your own time and continuum involving, evoking in the dimensions of parallel worlds, that you can have a drink of water from another dimension. And we have to leave it that way because you can embrace a dimension sometimes more than a parallel world. But see, that's undone when you start talking about the vast number of parallel worlds. So it's a fountain that springs eternal. It becomes quite a seamless connection within the dimensions.
It's a fountain that springs eternal and becomes a seamless connection within the dimensions, not in parallel worlds.
Well, it is parallel worlds, but if we explain it that way, you get lost and undone. It'll spook you. So that's why we brought it from the place of dimension. So, there you go. All right, now, the dirt. The dirty dirt. The dirt applies. Dirt's different. There's kinds of dirt that they can't find. There's kinds of dirt that they find that are not. There's kinds of rocks. There's type of igneous. Igneous. Well, they might be igneous rock formations, but those outcroppings that you get, igneous, that's hysterical.
What is igneous? It's a rock?
Well, no, igneous is the rock formation.
Oh.
We were calling it Ignatius, as in the papacy.
Okay, Ignatius Loyola.
Exactly, precisely, good.
Once the printing press came in, the new rock for the Vatican was Ignatius Loyola, the Jesuits.
That place, there are rock formations and types of metamorphic and igneous rock outcroppings and formations that are not. And you go, Ion, the hell are you talking about? How can there be rocks that aren't? Well, there are.
Yeah, that's like when I was trying to figure out how could an obelisk be sitting there in Cairo from another world, but we're looking at it and touching it, but it's from another world. It's something like that. It's seamless.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. But see, that's even in this world. Now, that's not a parallel world. That's not a future world. That's not a past world. It didn't help them because all of this click-clock, tick-tocks of time he hadn't found it, and it's only now that you discover it. Well, that can't be from a future experience. Now we're talking about the rocks. That can't be from a future experience because it hasn't been found yet. So it would be much more logical for a future place to go further back into your recorded past and plant it so that you don't get caught unaware of this unknown, been here 10,000 million years, anomaly of something that is not.
Well, no, you just undid yourself. You said it's
yes,
from a parallel world, and then they can't be from a future experience because that has been found yet. Okay, gotcha.
In this world.
Right.
But see, when you start giving dimensionality to it, all of a sudden you have steps. So then, therefore, you can have a rock that you never found before so far, and not from a future experience. They plan it now for you just to find it. Well, no, if they could do that, it would be much easier to move it to a future past and tuck it away so they can find it now, which is your typical topic of discussion. That fits into your 10-minute plan rather than your 10,000-year plan. Okay? So that's the softest way to say it. But now what we were trying to get to was, like Shangri-La, like the inset temples at Aswan, like your Mayan temples. Well, we don't want to get into that right this second, because when we start naming it, it's going to get real pinpointed, and they're going to know where to look for stuff that they haven't known to look for yet. It's going to complete things, so let's just leave that alone for now. Just too much right this second. And also your poles, North Pole, South Pole, the true poles. Now, some of the Tinian philosophy says that the points of your dirt planet are where a dodecahedron points on your planet.
Who's Tinian?
It's a type of linear physics that no one embraces. It has to do with wavelengths, but they can't prove it. But they're proving it, but they can't disprove it yet. So they're just kind of playing with it. But long story short, or short story long, maybe this one's a short story long, is that type of dynamic has a real easy, simple way of explaining it from those points.
The dodecahedron dynamic.
Points on the inside. Say you have a dodecahedron, then you cover it with earth, make it ball. The points that line up with the dodecahedron then become focal areas for what you call your electromagnetism within the planet. Not gravity, electromagnetism, because there's a difference. So that's the places where you can then access a Shangri-La. And that's not different dirt, but it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Same dirt, different world. Well, then it's not the same dirt. See how confusing that can get in about 1 second?
Where do the dodecahedrons come from?
Shapes, the physics dynamic of putting together angles.
Shangri-La kind of was like this igneous rock that's there, but not. You see, that's what Shangri-La is.
Good. And when you go, you won't want to talk about it when you come back.
When you go to Shangri-La, you won't want to talk about when you come back.
That's correct. Those that have been aren't talking. They don't want to come back and rub it in your face that they got it and you don't even know to ask for it.
So how do we experience different dimensions?
Well, the easiest way is to convince the non-physical part that's already you to embrace physical meat-sack part of you that takes those opportunities of your labyrinth of your mind. It ascends the labyrinth of your mind. And when that happens, then you can instantaneously, like if you have your teeth kept and get under a black light, they glow. It's very, very bright in a black light. Okay? Same thing is with your experiencing dimensions in your world, wherever you are. They'll light up a little differently than others see them.
When you see the dimensions, they light up differently.
If you recognize them, yes.
Yeah.
And, correct.
And you might light up differently to yourself.
You do. You absolutely do. Very good. What is light? It's a vibration.
when I listen to Session 50, whatever it is, when I'm talking about the Chinese, the Egyptian obelisk, I'm saying, well, how could this thing be there? Now, as I understood, we've changed, and we can imagine that the chapel is another world.
Very good. Broken. And it's no problem if you have dimensionality.
You mean it is a problem if we don't include the understanding of dimensionality?
Well, that's been sort of your breakdown here of trying to calculate it, because there's no cut and dried, this is real and this is Memorex.
Because it's simple. Seamless. It's seamless.
If it is seamless, then it works. If it's not seamless, then you get crossways and you just let it go because you can't ever wrap around it.
Is there a recording going on of organ music?
There is. We wanted to give you a little timber and pitch. This particular place is the perfect example of how it flows and flows and flows and flows.
Yeah.
There is no end to the movement.
And you definitely see that on mescaline or LSD. You see the fluidness.
That's right. That's right. And that just makes it real for the individual. Bach was just perfect at that imitation.
Of that, slipping and sliding. Did he have the experiences physiologically? Did he have, you know, mescaline kind
of? He did.
Did he take mescaline to get it?
It would be your version of peyote. They had lots of herbs, you know, snuff.
Yeah.
They'd sniff snuff, which was more probably methamphetamine than it was snuff, but that's just in the alchemist that was doing the compounding.
Back to dimensionality. Remember months ago when we were talking about parallel worlds, Ion, you talked about that when you see a light or shift in the light or change in the light, then that's a parallel world. Now it seems you're saying that's a different dimension.
No, well, but see, it can be. But to be clear, you were asking where babies came from, and we were saying from your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we're getting a little bit more into the dynamics of the details, because now you've got it enough that you can understand this whole dirty detail process
mm-hmm.
of conception. So that's all that was. If we just zinged it with you, just like magnesium, if you get too much of it, you'll know it.
So you're agreeing with Carolyn that you were pointing out the dimensionality when you talk about the glowing lights?
As an example, yes. Good.
So in this world, are there different dimensions?
Yes.
Do we enumerate how many there are?
No, we don't. Well, unless you want to bring time into it, and then you don't have time to count them. There's lots.
Okay. So there's
okay.
a lot.
They're trying to work that out with their string theory,
mm-hmm.
and they're not even doing very well with that. But they're trying, so it's trying.
Yeah, it is trying. Usually they start by enumerating them, so, yeah, I see.
Well, and that's the problem, see? That's the issue.
Is there more of a description to a dimension than it's a shifting of light?
It's enough. Even that's changing. Because if you remember back in the beginning of days, the wavelengths are getting shorter through prism to light. Do you remember that refraction level or degree is changing? Well, if you start making that be the rule, and then the rule changes, now you have the exception. Well, then it becomes the example. Well, then it becomes the prodigy by which the sun was begat an heir.
Okay, so we've got dimensions and we got parallel worlds, and each parallel world also has dimensions. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
So
multi-dimensional fields, even, once you back off of it enough to wrap around it,
mm-hmm.
you can have multi-dimensional fields.
Mm-hmm.
So even from one view, you can have dimensions within dimensions. And that'll give you dementia if you're not careful.
We add dimensions to parallel worlds. That's a subtle change or addition or
of a larger dynamic.
Larger dynamic.
Now embracing.
But the bigger picture, Carol, is there's going to be endless shadings and mutations and alterations and variegations, because in a seamless situation, there is no limit to what you can demarcate.
Even your stars won't be still.
Everything is possible because...
No, everything is changing. That's what's possible.
Everything's changing because there is no framework for anything.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you can finally throw away your goddamn box cutters, because there is no boxes that you keep putting everything. everything in compartmental boxes, and there ain't any boxes. It won't hold it. And every time you try to put it in a box and seal it up, it squirts out. And then you feel less than because you work so hard trying to box this in to get it to the point that you can't store it and stack it and can't go more than 5 high and can't go more than 3 wide. And then you can't get there. And then you get lost in the translation. And then you make a new word for being lost in the translation. Mm-hmm. And then you come to a place that you come up with the silliest word that's ever been thought up ever and decide that if you don't know and you can't figure it out, then you can Google. See, this is boxation. Boxation, that's the word.
Yeah, not
boxation. We're going to start your anti-boxation movement, Bob. Yes. Okay, there you go. Now, that's the bigger dynamic. And that'll be a whole section in and of itself. We're talking about solstice work here, so we wanted to hit as many tops as we could.
Oh, how does this relate to the solstice?
Well, it can't be boxed.
The solstice is a demarcation, a box.
You know. A line of demarcation from the pivotal axis of how the world turns. Oh, wait, that's a soap opera.
Originally based on dodecahedron knowledge.
Well, developed to that, you see. It's trying to put even that in a box.
So the labyrinth of the mind is the one that makes the boxes, and that's natural, but you ease toward living on the edge of it so you don't need as many boxes.
And then your labyrinth gets easier to navigate, doesn't it? Well, wait a minute. Now, what happens when you get a labyrinth that you can navigate? It loses its valuation of a labyrinth. If it's a puzzle that's not a puzzle, then what is it?
It's too bland, so the mind...
No, it's understood, and you can easily stroll through it without the contrast, but yet you can still have it without the contrast.
I thought you were going to say, well, the mind will ask for a new mystery labyrinth.
We hope not. When you come to ascension, you won't have that even as a question. You'll come back to the place where you can go easy with it and just enjoy the deliciousness that is your creation, and you can have your mind on an easier path, even with some contrast, because there'll always be more. There's always more. Well, always more is a concept in and of itself that's quite an anomaly because, well, I want more. Well, you've already got enough. Well, how much is enough? No, I want more. Well, how much more? Well, you say, well, enough's enough. And we go, yes, and too much is some more. You see, it gets easier and easier because you care less and less and less.
You get good at the less and less, but you never give it up totally.
Never, even in engaging with non-physical.
The new things we've discussed, do they have something to do with the Great Wall of China phenomenon?
It does on the surface. It's an example of something that you can't do.
You can't build the wall.
Can't do it. Haven't been able to build another pyramid. Why not?
The why not is because you've got knowledge of dimensionality and a knowledge of parallel worlds, which go into the making of them.
Thank you. And you forgot. Now, that's old school. Now, wait a minute. Old school, that's the part you've already done. So why can't you do it again? Why can't you build an Egyptian pyramid today, right now? If that technology that allowed it to be in it, you can't make it go away because it's standing before your very lying eyes. If that's true, but yet science would say the pyramids don't exist because you can't create them. It's uncreatable, so therefore it's not. So it stands as a wonder of the world, meaning that they won't even take the time, and they've had several minutes to figure it out, how it even was constructed. They don't even know how it was constructed.
Okay, so the Great Wall of China, they all relate because we're talking about dimensionality and parallel world. The thing,
isn't it interesting that the Great Wall of China is one of those wonders that can be seen from space? Acknowledge the space.
They were communicating to those that could be far away from the planet.
Well, they don't necessarily say that's what they mean. Is that what they're really saying? They're adding a dynamic, depending on how big your box is, gives you a relative perspective field of dimension.
So what did the average Chinese peasant think of this who didn't know how it was built the last couple hundred years, if they ever saw it? What
would they think caused it?
Well, they wouldn't see all of it. They'd just see the part where they were.
And they know that it went on for hundreds of miles, and they marvel at it.
Long